All right, come. Shall we? Everybody find a seat as we come to God's Word this morning. Let's just take 30 seconds to quieten ourselves and our spirits as we prepare to receive God's Word. We live in challenging times, either nationally, internationally, or even personally. You know, life is never smooth all the time. There are ups and there are downs. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
You know, in our midst and in among people we know, you know, we've got Glory's mother who's been diagnosed with cancer. She's undergoing chemotherapy at INLEX. You know, there are others who are sick. You know, there are other challenges people face on the personal front, you know, strains in a marriage relationship, husband and wife. It could be with children. They could be, not able to find a job, or strife in the family, breakdown of relationships, or seeking and searching for that marriage partner and it's not happening. You know, so there are all kinds of things that crop up in our everyday lives that can cause stress and anxiety. And you know, we know, we've through the service, we've seen the goodness of God, that He has called us, He has chosen us, He has saved us. We know our sins are forgiven. We know God has a plan and a purpose for our lives, and that's all wonderful. But in the midst of all that positive, there are these challenges that can happen. And so this morning, let's look to God's Word to say, Lord, you know, and He is our anchor in the storm. And what we need to do is to anchor our lives in Jesus, in His Word, in His Spirit, in His presence, to enable us to ride these rough seas that come our ways. Okay? So we're going to look at Psalm 23 this morning. I'm going to invite Meher. Where is she? Yeah, Meher, to come forward and just read it for us.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thank you, Meher. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your Word that is living and eternal, Lord. Thank You that Your Word strengthens and comforts us. Lord, I pray that as we look at Psalm 23 this morning, Lord, Your presence and Your peace would be upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, Psalm 23 is one of the best known passages of Scripture. It's also been one of the most quoted passages where most people are familiar, even people who don't know the Bible are familiar with Psalm 23. You know, it's often read at funerals, isn't it? You know, and that's what it is. But it's not just meant for funerals. It's meant for everyday living and everyday life. And we're going to look at a few things from Psalm 23 this morning. And the imagery there is of the shepherd that represents God. And we are the sheep. Okay, the Lord is my shepherd. And isn't Jesus Himself who said He is the chief shepherd? You know, and we are the sheep. And that's the analogy. But we're going to look at a few things this morning that we can draw strength from these verses. The first one is this: the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The first thing we can look for this morning is provision. Okay? We may face situations in our lives where there is a lack of something and we have a need. And as we look at this psalm, we can believe what God says, that I shall not be in want. Okay? Now, we often mix up our wants with our greed, or our need with our greed. That's what it is. You know, He doesn't promise to give us anything and everything we want, but He's saying our needs will definitely be met. This morning, I want to just, look at Psalm 84, verse 11, where he says, no good thing will he withhold. God's promises throughout Scripture are for our provision. There's over and over and over, this promises that God will provide, he will meet our needs. And this is just not theory, but as we take hold of it and apply it to our lives, we will see the reality. And this morning I've got Kishan here, who's going to share his testimony of how God has come into his life and made this verse come true. Come, Kishan. Now, Kishan's going to speak in Hindi or English. Which one? English? All right. Hindi. All right. Kishan, you say a word and I'll translate. All right? Go ahead.
Mera naam Kishan hai.
Yeah, my name is Kishan.
आप मुझे सब जानते हो क्योंकि सब मेरे घर के लिए प्रार्थना कर रहे थे सब लोग.
You'll all know me because all of you have been praying for my home.
Hello. मैं last year मई में 19 तारीख को वर्ड ऑफ ग्रेस में आया.
Okay, I came on the 21st of May last year. I joined Word of Grace. 19. Just checking, just testing, testing.
मैं भी चेक कर रहा था. और मैं बहुत खुश हूँ कि मैं यहाँ पे आया.
Yeah, I was very happy that I came here.
मैं जब आया मेरा घर का साइज 10x8 था.
When I came here, the house that I stayed in was 8x10 feet. Okay, let that sink in. 8 feet by 10 feet, that's the whole house. That's about this much space.
तो वो घर में मैं और नूतन हम दोनों एक साल बिताया.
Yeah, we stayed there, me and my wife Nutan, for 1 year.
और बहुत सारा मेहमान भी आया और खाना भी खिला.
And we had many guests who had dinner with us as well there.
और ये 10x8 में किया.
And we did this in a 10x12.
जैसे सब लोगों ने प्रार्थना किया और यीशु ने मुझे घर दिया ना.
Okay, as you have prayed, Jesus has given me a new house.
तो मेरा नया घर 2 BHK फ्लैट.
My new bedroom is a 2-bedroom apartment.
और उसका भाड़ा 5,500.
And the rent is only 5,500. Isn't that amazing?
और with maintenance और lift सब कुछ सुविधा.
With maintenance, lift, and everything is taken care of.
और मैं को बहुत धन्यवादित हूँ यीशु ने दिया.
I'm very thankful to Jesus that He's given me this.
एक हंसने वाली मैं बात बोलता हूँ.
I'm going to tell you a funny incident.
जब मैं 10x8 के घर में था.
When I was in this 10x8 foot home,
Nutan mere samne kabhi bhi Nutan bola to mere samne.
Nutan, my wife, was always in front of me. I could just see her.
10x8 mein main kidhar bhi dekh sakta.
You can't hide anywhere.
To main 2 BHK mein gaya.
When I went to the 2-bedroom flat,
to main kaam se gaya ghar mein aur common toilet mein main fresh ho raha tha.
I went after work, I came home, I went to the common toilet and I was refreshing my,
और मैं नूतन को आवाज दिया नूतन और नूतन का आवाज आया क्या.
So I called out to my wife, I said, Nutan, and she responded, yes.
हाँ, मैं गया देखा किचन में.
So I went and looked in the kitchen.
नहीं है.
She was not there.
तो मैं बेडरूम में गया.
I went to the bedroom.
नहीं है.
She was not there.
तो मैं बेडरूम की गैलरी में गया.
I went to the bedroom gallery.
नहीं.
She was not there.
फिर और एक 2 BHK मतलब और एक रूम था उसमें गए.
There was another bedroom, I went in there.
उसमें भी नहीं.
She was not there.
अभी मुझे पक्का यकीन था कि हॉल में.
So I thought definitely she's in the hall.
मैं हॉल में गया.
I went to the hall.
वो हॉल में भी नहीं था.
She's not there as well.
वो दूसरे गैलरी में था.
She's in the other gallery.
तो ये प्रभु ने दिया.
This is what the Lord has given us.
मुझे पता भी नहीं था. मैं हमेशा मैं देखता था नूतन सामने 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 और सडनली 2 BHK में देखा नूतन ढूंढना पड़ता है.
In my old place, she was always in front of me. Now I've got to search for her in the house.
सचमुच मैं प्रभु का धन्यवादित हूँ क्योंकि जैसा वचन है कि थोड़े में खुश रहूँ तो प्रभु बहुत बड़ा आशीषित करता है. मैं वैसा ही किया हाँ कि yeah. मैं थोड़े में बहुत खुश हुआ बहुत किया और प्रभु ने दिया yeah. और धन्यवाद सबको प्रार्थना करने के लिए yeah.
He says, "I'm, you know, as I was, we were contented with our little place, and God has blessed us with a big place. You know, and I'm so thankful for all of you for praying for us. Amen." Isn't that an amazing, amazing story of God's faithfulness in providing? I want to tell you, if there's anybody here, you know, whatever need you may have, yeah, we our faith is not in men. But it's in the living God. All right? He can do it. He will do it. Okay, the second thing. Let's look at Psalm 23. Okay? It says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me besides still waters. You know, green pastures and still waters speaks to us of His peace. You know, of God's peace over our lives in the midst of challenging situations. Okay, the first one spoke about provision, and now it talks about God continuing to give us peace in the midst of difficult situations. Having God's peace does not mean that everything is going well. What it means is that even in the most difficult situation, His peace will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You know, and I just want to share about when I was living in Kuwait and the invasion of Kuwait took place many, many, many years ago. Okay, for many of you, it's history, but it's something we've lived through. And, you know, we were living prosperous, good lives. One night, I woke up the next morning and everything changed. Can you imagine? You know, everything changed. I got up and we were going to go to church that morning. It was a Friday morning or something. And my mother said, "Listen, you can't step out of the house." I said, "What?" She said, "Yeah." She said, "The Iraqis have come and they've captured the city." Now my mom sometimes can exaggerate a bit. And so I said, "Mom, come on, what are you talking about?" And she said, "No, really, they are right in, you know, in Father Salim Street, the main street." He says, I said, "Okay, I'll call my friend." So I called him up. I said, "Hello, what's happening? Is it true that this has happened? The Iraqi soldiers are there." He says, "Yes, they are there." You know, so overnight, a country has been invaded. Whoa, and everything changed. And then, anyway, to cut a long story short, we were there a few weeks and then we moved out of Kuwait and came back to India. We had to take a bus right through Iraq and to Syria. Oh, no, it's not wherever, Jordan. And but through it all, God gave us such peace. Okay? In the sense of we lost our jobs, our homes, our everything, and we had to leave with just a couple of suitcases and come back. You know, many people were devastated. But through it all, God gave us such peace. Amen. And that's the goodness of God, that in the midst of adversity, He gives us peace. He's with us. And we've got to draw on God in our difficult times. Okay, we've got to say, "Lord, You said You will give us peace." You know, the situation might not change immediately, but He will take us through that situation. He will give us peace. Yeah? And so that verse is so wonderful. It says there, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." So whenever you're going through a challenging situation, you know, now, you may read something on the news that disturbs you, or you may read something that somebody is going through and they're in pain. You know, it's not directly you. And really, we get bad news all the time. You know, deaths taking place, attacks on people, and horrible stuff. And as Navas said, if one part of the body suffers, we all suffer. And the antidote to that is to get in the presence of God, draw on His word, draw on His spirit, and let His peace engulf you. Okay, let's move on to the third thing. Okay. He leads me along paths of righteousness. Okay. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His namesake. One thing that we need in the world today, in our lives today, is guidance. All right? We want to know, "Lord, what is it that you want me to do? All the time, we make hundreds of decisions every day. But we say, Lord, I need your guidance. I want to know what to do. And some of these decisions may be big decisions, some may be small decisions. But he's interested in us. He's interested in every decision. Now, one of the best ways to get guidance is as we feed ourselves and soak ourselves with the Word of God. Yeah, as we go through the Word, as we store the Word of God within us, meditating and memorizing upon God's Word, memorizing God's Word, you know, a navigation system gets stronger within us, where we know what is right and what is wrong. Psalm 119 says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. All right? So there's guidance in right and wrong. That's one bit. But then there's also guidance between the good and the best. Okay? Two different things. Right and wrong. So for example, if a thought comes to your mind, let's rob the bank. All right? Straight away, our guidance system says, throw it out. That's wrong. Don't do that. But imagine you're looking to get married and you have two options, you know, or you're looking, or this person has come about and you say, look, seems like a nice person. Is this the person for me? And even in good decisions that we make, we need the guidance of God. All right? And it's like, now how can we get this guidance of God? Well, it starts by first spending time with God in the quiet place. When we are used to listening to his voice, when everything is quiet, in our quiet time, then when we are in the maddening crowds, we can then recognize his voice there as well. It's like a little child, maybe lost at a fair, you know, hordes of people, and a child is lost, and the mother is there, and the child is crying. And then the child hears the mother's voice calling out to them. In the midst of all the sound that's going around, that child tunes into the mother's voice and can go there, isn't it? Or the mother can tune into the child's cry and find that child. And it's the same for us. We need to make time. We need to spend time with God and his word and learn to hear his voice when there's peace. So that when there are challenges, we can hear his voice, you know. And this is especially important when it comes to jobs, but it's even more important when it comes to marriage. Yeah, that we're saying, Lord, is this the person for me? Okay, because jobs you can change, marriage partners you can't. You know that, don't you? All right, that's what it is. Okay, so guidance. And as we hear this still small, and really as we are in tune to God's voice, we'll hear his leading in even small things. You know, take that book with you when you go today, or go and visit this person, or go and do this, or go and do that. You know, so it's not just the big things, but he wants to be with us in every aspect of our lives. Amen. Psalm 23, verse 4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And here we see that even though we are passing through difficult and dangerous situations, God's promise is that he is with you. He is with you. Okay? You remember the familiar, you find it on posters in different ways. Footprints, you remember that one? Yeah, it shows a pair of footprints, you know, footprints in the sand. And it says, you know, Lord, you will, and it shows two pairs of footprints. And then at sometimes there's only one pair of footprints. And so the person says, you know, I see two pairs of footprints through my life, but during the difficult times, I see only one pair, Lord, where were you? And the Lord says, I was carrying you at that time. Amazing. You know, and so his presence, and that's one of the things that we need to do is to cultivate the presence of God. Wow. You know? Moses, when he spoke to the Israelites, he says, you know, God wanted to send them off on their own. He says, if your presence does not go with us, don't send us from this place. Tell me, what is it that's different between the world and us? We wear the same clothes, we eat the same thing, drive the same cars, bikes, house. Everything is the same. The difference is we carry the presence of God. Hallelujah. You know, the last several days, weeks, I've just been listening to messages on the presence of God. And I realize that me especially, but maybe all of you, we live such busy lives. Isn't that so? Yeah. Our lives are punctuated by beeps, rings, phone calls. It's right from the morning till the night. It's unceasing. There's a barrage of messages, emails, tweets, all these things that come and disturb us. But when are we making time to be in God's presence? And I was listening to Benny Hinn the other day, and it was a lovely message. And what he said is, he says, the Bible says in many places, wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord. What does wait mean? It means to wait. You know, how many of us like waiting? Nobody likes waiting. In Pune, you can't wait 10 seconds at a traffic light. You know, isn't that true? People just cut the light. And so waiting is very difficult. When you're waiting for somebody, waiting in a doctor's room, waiting at an appointment, we just hate waiting. Yet, the Bible says, wait for the Lord. All right? Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And I want to encourage this morning that as we cultivate God's presence, it starts by just waiting. And what it means is, you know, just sit down in a quiet place. Make sure your phone is off. It's not your, or, you know, you're not being disturbed by messages. There's nobody there to disturb you. And just put on soft music that'll help us. You know, pick up one of these songs. Don't put any rock songs, kind of, you know, just a gentle Christian music, and just wait without doing anything. You don't even have to pray, okay? Just be there in Jesus's presence, okay? And let him restore your soul. Let him calm yourself down. I keep my diary there so that as I'm calming myself down, I keep remembering things that need to be done. Oh, this bill needs to be paid. That person needs to be called. Okay, take your book and just write down each of these things, because we think we'll forget it. So just write it down and you're dispensing with it, you know, and spend time, maybe 20, 30, 40 minutes, just calming your soul down and waiting in his presence. Okay, and then we can enter into his presence with praise, with thanksgiving, with prayer, you know, but that waiting in God's presence is so important. Verse 5 says, you prepare just a couple of things in verse 4, that as we wait, there are two things the shepherd had there, his rod and his staff. Yeah? And one of them was a club and the other one was a hooked stick that is used to rescue sheep, and the other one is a club to fight off predators. Okay, so no matter what you're facing, no matter whatever your challenge is, yeah, our God, as we sang this morning, is stronger. He's bigger, all right? And there are sometimes, you know, one of the things that sheep do is they wander off somewhere and then they fall on their backs. And I've been told that once they fall on their backs, they cannot come back upright again. And all they can do is kick their legs in the air and bleat. You know? Have you got yourself into a situation where you're helpless? Yeah, you could be in a situation, it's a Lord, unless you come in, I'm gone. All right? And that's where we call on the Lord and he will come and deliver us. Okay, verse 5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. This is an amazing, amazing promise of protection. In the midst of our enemies, in the midst of challenging situations, God says He prepares a table before us. Wow. Wonderful. He is feeding us. He's caring for us. And our enemies are watching God pouring out His goodness upon us. That's an amazing promise. Okay? So let's get hold of that. So you may be facing a challenging situation where you have enemies of different kinds. And saying, Lord, I'm trusting You. I'm depending on You to show up for me. And the last one is, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The promise is for this earth as well as once we go to be with Jesus forever. Okay, we have an eternal destiny with Jesus. That's our ultimate comfort, that nothing on earth can interfere with that. When we read church history, we hear about martyrs who were thrown to the lions, were thrown to wild animals, who were burnt, who were whipped, who were flogged, who were beheaded. You know, they went boldly to their death because they knew that their last breath on earth was going to be their first breath in heaven. So that is our comfort. We knowing that no matter what happens on earth, one day we will be with Jesus forever. But His promise is not just for eternity, it is for the now as well. Okay, it is for the now as well. He says in that verse, surely goodness and love shall follow me, mercy shall follow me all the days of our lives. You know, we've got to change our thinking. I don't know about you, but I can be so pessimistic. You know, you have Murphy's laws, yeah? If you have buttered and put jam on a piece of bread or toast and it falls down, which side will it fall on? The buttered side, the jam side. You know, so you always think, yeah, bad things are going to happen. You know, no, he's not going to agree. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. And we've got to change our mindset and say, Lord, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. That's what it is. You know, not something bad is going to happen. And I need to change my thinking that way. I can think of everything that can go wrong. Yeah? But to say, Lord, yeah, I'm going to get that job. Lord, I'm going to be able to witness to that person. Lord, yes, I'm going to find favor there and there and there. Amen. Amen. So Psalm 23. So whenever you are challenged, you're troubled, get hold of that psalm. Get hold of God's promises there. And it's a very intimate psalm. You'll see that, you know, there's no they in that sense referring to God. It's me, you. It's, you know, it's a personal psalm. Personalize it, memorize it, declare it, receive those promises into your lives. Amen. Amen. Shall we pray this morning? Would you like to stand? Maybe we could just close our eyes, Lord. Yeah. If you want the Lord to break through into your life, if you want to take hold of one of these provisions of Psalm 23, why don't you just put your hands out to the Lord and we'll pray for you. Yeah, saying, Lord. Lord, we thank You for Your amazing promises in Your Word. We've seen them become flesh in Kishan's life, in my life, in so many lives, Lord. Lord, we thank You that Your desire and your desire towards us is love and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. Lord, we will dwell in Your house forever and ever. What a wonderful comfort we have, Lord. Lord, I pray that we as a people would practice the presence of God. We would cultivate an appetite for being in Your presence, Lord. Would You do that, Lord? Would You do that? Lord, You said, draw close to Me and I will draw close to You. Enable us to do that, Lord. Lord, we want to be a people full of the Holy Spirit, full of God's presence, full of Your Word. Thank You, Lord. Lord, You've seen every hand raised. Would You come into every situation where we will see victory, we'll see Your grace and power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.